All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So we're gonna start from the beginning of Hilchos Teshuva. There are sheets in the back for whoever needs. And our goal really is not really to go to Be'iyun, not really to go too in-depth into Hilchos Teshuva, but really just to get, we want to try to get through all 10 Prakim of Hilchos Teshuva really by Yom Kippur. That's our goal. So wherever we have an opportunity to go ahead and be Ma'arich, wherever we have an opportunity to go a little bit more in-depth, we'll do so. But in general, we're just gonna try to understand on a basic level the Rambam's ideas. So Rambam begins Parak Rishon Halacha Aleph. Remember again, what's important to understand is the following. You know, people often hear Hilchos Teshuva, and they assume they're going to get a little bit of Musar, a little bit of Hashkafa. Remember, the Rambam was, the Chazak of the Mishnah Torah is a book of Halacha. So the Rambam writes Hilchos Teshuva. He literally is writing the laws of Teshuva. No different than there are laws of Shabbos, there are laws of Teshuva. He definitely infuses a little bit of Hashkafa and a little bit of Musra as we go through it. But really, what's beautiful and incredibly important about this is the Rambam is literally teaching us how to do. There are sheets right on the back. Oh, yeah, good. The Rambam is teaching us literally how to engage in the process of tshuva. So Rambam writes, Kol mitzvot shebat Torah, all the mitzvot in the Torah, bein aseh, bein lo saseh. What, we'll listen to this. Im avra adam al achas mehen, bein bezodil, bein bishkag. So we'll say all the mitzvot in the Torah. Remember, there are two different categories of mitzvot. There are mitzvot saseh, positive commandments. There are mitzvot lo saseh, prohibitions. If a person violates one of them, bein bezodon bein bishkaga, whether intentionally or unintentionally, so the halacha is kisheyase tshuva v'yashuv micheto, when a person does tshuva and literally returns from his sin, chayiv lehisvados lifnei hakel baruch hu, a person is obligated to engage in vidui. A person is obligated to engage in confession. So there are a couple of very interesting things that are being brought down over here. First of all, and this I think is riveting, the Rambam says that a person is obligated to do tshuva for the failure to perform an aseh. So we'll see, you hear what that means? You see, we're all familiar with the idea that a person goes ahead, a person has to do tshuva because a person, chasholom, violates Shabbos, or a person wears shatnes, a person eats ma'achalos asuros, something prohibited food. But I'm saying, it's not just, yes, that is true, but if a person fails to perform a positive commandment, so, you know, there's a lost object on the ground, and I'm just too busy, so I pass by it, so I have failed to perform the positive mitzvah of Hashava Saveda, so again, I have to do tshuva for the failure to perform the mitzvah. It's such an interesting idea, and almost what I'm saying is, failure to take advantage of opportunities is just as serious as the commission of negative acts itself. Fascinating. The other idea that, I know I said we're not going in depth with this, and now 2 minutes in, we're going, but I just want to point out something very interesting. Soloveitchik highlights the idea that Rambam uses the lashon of kishiyase tshuva, when a person does tshuva, as opposed to Rambam could have written what? Im ya'aseh tshuva, or ya'aseh tshuva. A person should, meaning if you want to phrase it as an obligation, write should do tshuva, or if you want to write it as a person has a choice, and I don't have to do tshuva, I can do whatever I want. So the Rav writes, what the Rav is telling us is that if there's one promise that we have is man always returns. Man always comes back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's just a question sometimes, you know, Rav Soloveitchik's Lashon is, life is a big circle. Sometimes it's a radius anaki, he writes, sometimes it's a very large radius to the circle, sometimes it's a very small radius to the circle. But people always come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everyone comes home. And that's what Rambam's writing over here. Kishe yaseh tshuva. It's not if you do tshuva. It's not, you know, perhaps you'll do tshuva. You're going to do tshuva. The only variable is when a person chooses to return. So now the Rambam gets into the halacha. So what is the first aspect of tshuva? Remember, we have this, you know, we often translate tshuva as repentance, which is not necessarily very helpful, especially if you don't know what the word means. But the idea is, you know, what is, the Rambam's going to define, what is this process of tshuva? So the first thing the Rambam says, the first part of tshuva is chayiv lehizvados, vidui, confession. Confession is the first part of tshuva. Which I will say, you know, what's amazing is that how much of we'll call it secular wisdom has been built on this concept. Look at the, so I'll explain it to you in just a moment. So the Rambam writes, Shene Emar, Isha Isha Kiyasu Mikal Chatas Adam. Pasuk says, if a man or a woman will perform any of the averos, any of the sins that man could perform, Lumo Ma'al Ba'ashem, to rebel against God, Va'ashmaha Nefeshahi, the soul will be culpable, V'hisvadu Es Chatasam Asher Asu, they shall confess their sins that they committed. Zevidui Dvarim. So Rambam writes, Mid'oraisa, you see that the first step of tshuva is vidui, is confession. So the Gemara says, Vidui ze mitzvah saseh, ketzav misvada. So first of all, what's interesting over here is the Rambam actually understands that not only is vidui, not only is confession the first step of tshuva, but what? Confession is a biblical obligation. It's a biblical commandment. It's a positive commandment. Ketzav misvada. So we'll come back and analyze this in just a little bit. So how do you do vidui? What is vidui? Omer, person says, Ana Hashem, Chatosi avisi pashati lefanecha. And I will say, understand that a chit, an avon, and a pesha represent through three different types of sins. In fact, we're not going to get into it now, but you could look into in on the side, on the right-hand side, the Kesef Mishnah goes through this. We're just going to talk about this outside. A chit is an accidental sin. An avon is an intentional sin that is done in order to satisfy a desire. And a pesha is a sin that is done in order to rebel. It's meaning, I have no desire for it. It's not a mistake. I know exactly what I'm doing. And I want to show God who's boss. So I've chatosi avisi pashati lefanecha, va'asisi kach v'kach. I've done so and so and so and so. So remember again, I could start out with these general terms of chatosi avisi pashati, but at some time I have to become what? I have to become sin-specific. I have to highlight what it is that I did. So first of all, say first step is what we call hakara sachet, recognition of the sin. Recognition of the sin. I've done X, Y, and Z. That's step one. Vahari nichamti uboshti b'maasai. Step number two is I'm embarrassed. It's actually interesting. Boshti, we understand, means what? Embarrassed. What does nichamti mean? So it's interesting. Nichamti means I've had a change of heart. Nichamti, I've had a change of heart. What does that mean? We'll say, why do people sin? Why do people sin? No one here knows. Wow, what am I thinking? Why should I ask you? Right. Well, we've heard. No. Those are three types of sins. Those are types. So why? The simpler. A person sins because they're going to get something out of it. If I'm going to get something out of it, whatever the something out of it is, pleasure, financial, whatever it might be. People sin. You know, the Chazal have a phrase where they say, "Ein adam chote velo lo." That a person does not sin if there's not something in it for him. Right? Nobody sins. The truth is, even with pasha, just to rebel against God, those type of sins are really far and few between. Few and far between. Right? Meaning, most people, when you sin because you think you're going to get something out of it. So says the Rambam, what's amazing is, what's part of the tshuva process? Part of the tshuva process is realizing that what I thought I would get out of sin, I actually didn't get. Meaning that even if I got a little shtick pleasure, you know, even if I got a little bit of enjoyment, the truth is, it pales in comparison to what I lost, or it pales in comparison to the baggage that I have. That's nichamti. Nichamti, that's why, again, we translate the word nechama as comfort or consolation, right? But in reality, the word nechama, at least in its biblical etymological source, really means a change of heart. So nechamti means I thought I was going to get something out of sin. It turns out that I was mistaken. I might have gotten some pleasure from it, but the long-lasting positive things I thought I was going to get from sin never actually materialized. Uboshti masa, I'm embarrassed at a change of heart. So I will say that's step number two. Step number one is recognition of the sin. Step number two is a recognition that it did not work out as I planned. It did not work out the way I wanted it to. Uli olam eini chozer ladavar zeh. And I will never do this again. Kabbalah al ha'asid, an acceptance for the future. So again, because we all say, what's the point of doing tshuva if I'm going to be a habitual offender? So at least I have to promise myself. Now again, I will say, we all know in the back of our hearts that no one is perfect. It is possible that I will relapse. It's possible I'll do this sin again. But at least right now, where I'm standing at this moment, I never want to commit this act again. Zehu ikaro shel vidui, says the Rambam, this is the ikar of vidui. And whoever goes ahead and is marbe bevidui, it literally does a lot of confession, and protracts or elongates this process, harizu mishubach. And you will say, meaning the more specific you want to be in your viduing, and the more specific you want to be in spelling out why you've had a change of heart, and the more specific you want to be in terms of what's your plan for the future for not repeating that same sin, harizu mishubach. So we'll say, according to the Rambam now, what's very exciting is we've just hit on the first aspect of tshuva, which is also very, it's interesting that the Rambam starts with this, because one of the most difficult parts, Soloveitchik points out this out as well, that one of the most difficult parts of tshuva is people often don't know where to begin. Like, I know I want to change, I know there are certain things I have to address, where should I start? So the Rambam gives you a very concrete starting point. The first part is recognize, what did you do wrong? Let's start there. Because if you don't, again, because we'll say, you know, it's interesting, is most people, when they address a tshuva or change process, so what do we normally start with? We normally start with taking on additional things, right? I'm going to say more Tehillim. I'm going to learn more. I will say, why do we do that? Because it's a heck of a lot easier to go ahead and read the entire Sefer Tehillim 15 times a day or give more tzedakah or learn a little bit more than it is to fix one negative trait, than it is to address one negative behavior. So we love to heap on all the... That's why you see everybody's running to do additional stuff, and then what happens? It's going, it's mamish, it's great. Then Yom Kippur's over, and a week later, I'm doing the same things that I did, you know, in Ben Azmanim, you know, but before Elul. Why? And that's, we all experience this in some way. Why? Because the Rambam says, because we never really tackle the issues, because we're so busy saying Tehillim, learning extra Torah, giving more tzedakah, which is all good, but we have not addressed the issues. The Rambam says tshuva begins with, I'm sorry? 100%. I wanted to point out before that, you know, what's interesting is, if you look at many of the way that the 12-step programs are structured, so they're all structured with the same basic idea. You have to admit you have a problem. If I don't admit that I have a problem, then what am I doing? Then I'm fine. If I don't have a problem, so what do I have to work on? If I don't have a problem, everything is wonderful. And that's not, it's amazing. The Rambam was the first one. Well, he's not actually the first one. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the first one, because it's a pasuk in the Torah, v'hisvadu eschat asam. But the Rambam's telling us, you want tshuva, that's fine. Before we get what you're going to take on and what you're going to do and how you're going to become better, is there a problem? Is there not a problem? If there's a problem, articulate it. Because remember, once you articulate something, it becomes a reality. So articulate it and express a desire on behalf of yourself that you don't want this anymore. Until you repudiate the act, until you repudiate the lifestyle, until you repudiate this mahalik, you're not going to get anywhere. That's what the Rambam says. This is the beginning of the entire tshuva process. And that's why he says, therefore, again, when he says, hamar be lehisvados, what he means is, the more introspective you are and try to really understand your faults, your shortcomings, and why I do the things that I do, says the Rambam, harei zeh meshubach. And we'll stop over here. We'll pick up Emir Tzashem towards the middle of Aleph tomorrow.